The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into today's edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol. Frank LaBeouf will be with us in a moment as we're reflecting on victories for both Chelsea and Liverpool in the FA Cup. But we kick off with a big story coming from Chelsea. Roman Abramovich issuing this statement. I've always taken decisions with the club's best interest at heart. In the current situation, I've therefore taken the decision to sell the club. The sale of the club will not be fast-tracked, but will follow due process. I will not be asking for any loans to be repaid. This has never been about business nor money for me, but about pure passion for the game and club. All net proceeds from the sale will be donated. The foundation will be for the benefit of all victims of the war in Ukraine. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Gab Marcotti is with us. Gab, this has all moved, it seems, very quickly.
Moved incredibly quickly because obviously it was only on Saturday that they issued a statement saying that he was going to hand over the stewardship of the club to the trustees of Chelsea's own charitable foundation, only for us to later find out that stewardship has absolutely zero meaning under UK law. And that the trustees themselves weren't sure if they wanted to accept this or whether they could even legally accept it. So we've moved from that to this announcement that he's ready to sell. We also have, already the first names of prospective buyers. And we have this statement, which, as you said, sounds slightly contradictory because on the one hand, he says that he's not going to want any of the loans repaid to him, the about £1.5 billion worth of loans, around about $2 billion that he has loaned the club over the years rather than putting in equity. But then he says the net proceeds are going to charity. So it's kind of hard if you're not getting any of that money back out, then surely all the money's going to be net. I suspect communications hasn't been the strong suit here. I suspect there'll be some clarification in the coming days.
Senior writer Mark Ogden also with us, pitch side at Anfield. Mark, how big a story is this?
It's a huge story, and I think it's just caught everyone by surprise. I mean, we knew of the situation the last two or three days that Abramovich may sell, but for him to sell, I mean, we have to take a step back and think, this guy has been in charge at Chelsea for 19 years. He's transformed the game, really, and he's been a huge figure in the Premier League, and it's like, The rush has been so crazy that you kind of forget the significance of it. It's Roman Abramovich selling Chelsea. It's a massive story. It's brought two Champions Leagues, countless Premier Leagues, brought Jose Mourinho to the Premier League when he was the hottest coach in the world. He's won the World Championship. He has transformed the game in English football. It was his influence at Chelsea which probably prompted Man City to be bought by Sheikh Mansour. Abramovich's impact is absolutely massive, and the fact that he's now selling up and moving out is a massive story. I think obviously the situation in Ukraine overshadows everything right now, and I think that will obviously overshadow this. But if you take a step back and realise what the impact that Abramovich has made on the transfer market, on European football, on Premier League football, it's an immense story, and I think we can't kind of overstate how big it is.
What does this mean for Chelsea short term, Gab?
Well, I mean, things go on as they did before. Until obviously the sale goes through. A lot's going to depend, I think, on the terms of who buys the club. This is a club that, they've incurred losses over the years, but they've been compliant with financial fair play. I think they are sustainable. If you look at that $1.5 billion, you'd probably find that, some of that obviously a result of the pandemic, but I think a lot of it was in earlier years, pre-financial fair play, when they were generally racking up big losses. This is $1.5 billion over 19 years, remember. So, I think the club can remain a force in the Premier League and run it break even, but they are going to have to probably invest in a stadium simply because Stamford Bridge, you get 40,000 fans in there rather than 60,000. So that's, you know, what, 50% more. So that could help generate more revenue. But I don't think overnight, this club's just going to go away because Roman Abramovich is gone. Chelsea have reached a level of being self-sustainable or close to self-sustainable. And it's still a very, very strong brand. The appeal of being in West London is a big draw. And that's why it's so expensive. Just for context, if the fee is going to be round about 2 billion, 2.5 billion pounds, that makes them, by some distance, the most expensive sale of a football club in the world.
So it looks set to be an end of an era at Chelsea, and what an era under Abramovich as owner. He's brought 5 Premier League trophies, 5 FA Cups and 2 Champions Leagues as well. Well, Chelsea are in action on Wednesday in the FA Cup, booking a place in the quarterfinals, beating Luton Town by 3-2. Good game, this. Luton would open the scoring early. Berkey with a header, Sowell getting the equaliser. Then 4 minutes before the break, nice goal from Cornick would see Luton take the lead. But goals from Timo Werner and Romelu Lukaku in the second half would see Chelsea through to Thursday's quarterfinal draw. Alexis caught up with Loftus-Cheek after the game.
All right, Ruben, congratulations. Amazing win. Had to come from behind, you know, twice to level it and then, of course, get the winner. Mentally, what does a win like this do for you?
It means a lot coming off the back of the weekend where it was disappointing. The day after was emotionally, you know, draining and it was difficult to take. But, you know, we have to do the job in these cups against these teams. We want to win, have high motivation, and it's a fantastic day, you know, night for them to come out and show their ability in front of, you know, fans. And for us, it's just a case of being mentally strong coming off the back of the weekend and getting the job done. Was difficult, more difficult than we would liked, and we expected that. But it was, you know, a shock first goal, and we had to climb our way back. But credit to the boys that we did.
For more on this result, let's go to Kenilworth Road, shall we? Alexis and Don standing by.
We are indeed, Dan. We're the last ones standing here, aren't we, Don? But I just have a bone to pick with you, because in the end, we finally saw a different Chelsea. Of course, in the second half, they were able to get the win. A certain Timo Werner as well showed up. Halftime, you were absolutely sledging him and his body language.
And look what
saying
happened.
That he looks. So it's because of you.
Of course it is. I left a little bit on him. I wanted him to do a little bit more. I wanted him to sort of man up a little bit and sort of get going, and he'd done that. He was fantastic.
Did that change completely?
Yes, well, I think his goal certainly helped. Once he got his goal, you could see his sort of confidence, as it does with pros. You know, you feel as though you can impact the game. The assist, I thought, was better than the goal because his movement was good. Then he had the sense to produce the right way to pass to Lukaku. Lukaku wants that sort of service. Mm. And I thought then you could see the real Timo Werner come back, and Lukaku was then trusting him as he did for the goal. And I thought in the end, they looked a good pair.
Well, you mentioned the real Timo Werner there. I feel like we've had this conversation before where he scores and we say, yes, this is it. We're going to get this consistently, but we're still not. Do you see anything to hint after tonight that we probably could see something consistently from Timo Werner?
I hope so, Alexis, because he's a brilliant player. You can just see it in his body language where he's lacking so much confidence. Mm. And hopefully he gets going. Hopefully he starts, you know, producing the football that he played when he was in Germany. The standard was incredibly high. He was scoring goals. He was getting assists. He was electric. He was making loads of sort of dart and runs, and he wanted the ball to his feet. Now in a Chelsea style where it's a little bit different, it's more possession based, he might be suffering from that. Lukaku might be suffering from that. But as a pair, when they play together, I think they enjoy playing with each other.
Well, Romelu Lukaku, funny you mentioned him, because he's exactly who I want to go to next. You did say that this was a night for him. We talked about him at halftime, saying how he looked pretty much invisible after the first half.
Yep.
And this is a match that someone like him needs to step up in. And he usually thrives in these situations. He did get his goal. He did have a small celebration, and you could see how much it really meant to him. Mm. But Lukaku, what did you think of how he, I suppose, did he raise his game enough to live up to the expectations that you put on him in a game like this?
He did in the second half. Mm. Again, like Timo Werner, his confidence start to come back. You can see he was more physical. I think in the first 45 he was playing up against 3 centre-backs who were really up against him and really touch tight and didn't allow him to turn. They were really snappy in the tackles, and he struggled to get the feel of the game and the flow of the game. Second half he was so much better, and that's why they paid the money, because we all know he's a brilliant striker. Now if you're playing in midfield, you've got to get Lukaku service.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, when he was playing up front with Lautaro Martinez, they played as a pair. I think at the moment Thomas Tuchel's trying to sort of supplementing with Timo Werner, or it might be Kai Havertz, or he's in and out the side, he's struggling with confidence. When he's flowing and he fancies it, there's no one better than Lukaku in terms of how strong and how quick and how direct, and he must be a nightmare for defenders to try and play against. Second half, so much better.
But usually Lukaku, as we've said, he tends to like the teams built around him, which is something we know Thomas Tuchel's not going to do. So how can he thrive? How can we see more of this?
That's up to him. That's up to him to think, how can I adjust? If the team's playing more of a possession-based style, then be patient. But make sure your timing runs well. Don't go offside. When the ball comes into you, make sure you retain possession. Be a link man for your midfield players. Still always be on the half turn and on the shoulders of defenders, because as we saw for his goal and the Timo Werner assist, he just sort of got in behind and he got a yard of space and then he was relying on the service. In the end, it was really good movement and a great ball into him, and the finish was Lukaku-esque.
So overall a good night then for Lukaku and Timo Werner, especially for Don. He was absolutely loving it. He had a couple of halftime bevvies, just some sparkling water.
Well, nothing too heavy, just
nothing
two sparkling
too heavy.
Waters.
He was able to chase down the mascot for his hat because he wasn't too happy about that. It cost a lot of money, just like his Maserati. He's about to go give us a lift.
I haven't even got a Maserati.
To his car.
That's going to be all over social media now. I haven't even got a Maserati.
We're never going to let him live this down. Never.
No, I've never.
Never. Back to
I've
you guys.
I've got a lot of pull here, though.
Oh, clearly. He's talking about having a dinner with some old players later
on this
month. Yes,
absolutely. I'm organising things.
Oh, my goodness. What a celebrity.
I'm running the show.
There you are. Don and Luton Town. Thank you very much, guys. Go and warm up.
That was a diary, wasn't it?
Don's day. I woke up, I had breakfast.
Don's diary. In the car park. Woke up. Bike ride. Organising a dinner. Talked about soccer.
Oh, I love it.
We're going for some sparkling water later, aren't we?
Well, yeah. Can't you wait?
Beautiful. Is Frank LaBeouf with us as well? Frank, Chelsea getting the win just about.
Yes, but like we thought, you know, before the game, that it would be a tight win for the Blues. That was a cup tie. That was a hard game. Credit to Luton players who believed that they could maybe go through against a big team like Chelsea. Chelsea had to give everything. Players where we were involved had to give everything. We are talking about the two at front just now. The lack of confidence that they both have. And I'm not very much happy with the performance of the two, but enough to be happy because they score goals and they give for Werner an assist. But I think it was just enough to get through, which is the most important thing in those kind of ties, because you know that it's going to be a trap, that you have nothing to win in those kind of games. Just try to go through and think about the next round.
Do you want to add anything, gentlemen?
It was interesting, but that Thomas Tuchel looked a bit tetchy at the end with the Luton manager. I'm not quite sure what was going on there. There was some attempted handshakes and whatever. But, you know, three guys, certainly Sal, who you mentioned earlier, has done little or nothing, needed to do something. But the two other guys needed a goal and got it. So that's a tiny bit of pressure off. It was a championship team. It wasn't the biggest game. But Lukaku scored the penalty on Sunday, did his job in terms of stepping up and doing that, and has scored the striker's goal, Stevie said, where he should be. For him, trust me, even though he's this £100 million player, won the Serie A, that's a start for him because it has been bad.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Jurgen Klopp made 10 changes to the Liverpool side that won the Carabao Cup on Sunday as they were in action at Anfield, taking on Norwich in the fifth round of the FA Cup. In the end, though, Liverpool get the job done, beating Norwich by 2-1. They dominated this game pretty much throughout. Minamino with a brace. Rupp was scored late on for Norwich to make Liverpool sweat slightly, but Jurgen Klopp's side thoroughly deserving then of a place in the quarterfinals of the Cup. One, for more on this, let's go pitch side and return to Mark Ogden. Mark, job done.
A bit edgy towards the last 10 minutes after Norwich had scored, but I just think that Liverpool have got a good result out of this tonight. Jurgen Klopp's got a few of his fringe players a game, and I think, you know, people like Minamino's done well, Curtis Jones did well. I thought Harvey Elliott, when he came on second half, looked impressive. I think Harvey Elliott, considering the season he's had with his bad injury, to come back into this team, to play as he is doing, impressive as he is doing. You know, I think he could be an outside bet for the World Cup squad in November, December this year, because he's playing so well when he comes on.
Can't really think of too much to say other than the job done.
Thank God I never went to extra time. Yeah, I mean,
Minamino obviously getting a brace, positive for him.
Yeah, listen, Minamino's one of those. There's probably two or three here who, regardless of how well they do, I mean, I was saying before that it's great to have competition, but the truth is, Minamino's probably, what, sixth spot?
Right.
As far as the start on the 11 is concerned, playing up front. But at the same time, you've got to show great attitude. He probably knows that as well as me, but he still turns up, gives his best, and two great goals. So, all in all, job done. And I just can't get my head around why Norwich wouldn't take the opportunity of going to Anfield and maybe upsetting Liverpool.
Yeah.
And give the season, I'm not going to say some meaning, because they're not relegated yet, but I can't believe they're going to stay up. I mean, they've scored 15 goals in 26 Premier League games. Seriously? And lost 55? I mean, come on. So at least give your fans something to smile about.
Right.
And put a proper team out. Because you played Liverpool not that long ago at Anfield and gave them a right good scare with your first team. And you know that Liverpool are putting out a subpar team. 10 changes from the Carabao Cup team. So give it a go. Try and win the game. But no. What, 7 changes? Really? No. If I'm a Norwich fan, I'm not happy.
But it's a long way.
but I suppose on the other side of that, they still want to fight with everything that they have.
No, he's made his mind up with Sidney Starch.
So 15 goals, we've heard that 55. A lot today.
How many goals have they developed?
Twice.
That's definitely the third time I've heard that. That's definitely.
Well, he's made his mind up.
Norwich still got to have to fight.
Well, they have a better chance than they did when Daniel Fark was there.
Right.
They were done. Right. At least Dean Smith had the odd result. It's unlikely. I mean, 5 points off Everton at the moment, having played 2 games more. Mm. And I've lost 55 goals. You know that?
Yeah, that, I know. They haven't been scoring goals either.
I don't know. Go up there, take a strong team up. You know Liverpool are going to make changes because of the 120 minutes cup final they played and all the things they're fighting for. Go up there with a strong team and possibly pull it off. And then get on the coach with a bit of confidence and look forward to the weekend. But no, it seems to be the way with quite a lot of managers.
Sure.
The other thing as well, I don't think you should underestimate that actually when you lose as often as they do, you know, if you can win a game, and certainly a big game, right, the difference it makes around the club and the dressing room and the training ground is huge.
What about the argument that no matter what team they put out, they're not beating this Liverpool side?
Wait, hold on. Slap him.
Right. If I could reach, I would.
He's been serious.
I know he is.
Well, I'm being serious.
Well, are you seriously being serious, that Liverpool side?
You're basically playing against Liverpool reserves.
Right.
So you have to think you've got a decent chance, even though it's Liverpool at Anfield,
right,
against Liverpool reserves. No?
I don't know. We've seen Norwich this season. They've only scored 15 goals.
I just told you 2 or 3 weeks ago they gave Liverpool a fright. They were 1-0 ahead,
right,
up until the end of the game and only got done just because of the quality that was on the field for Liverpool. Well, that quality wasn't on the field today,
right,
and was never going to be on the field today. So you have an opportunity and you don't take it. You get the white flag out before the ball's even kicked, stick a team out that you know is going to get beat probably anyway. Well, 99% is going to get beat, and you get beat.
Drives me bonkers.
Great.
This
must
now
be great being an Norwich fan tonight.
Drives me bonkers this now with this FA Cup stuff. Sometimes with the players, you know, sports science. I'll say can't do this. Get out of here. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
He's not going to be in great shape if he plays. How's about you play well, score a couple of goals if your team of Pookie or Josh Sargent or whoever, win the game as Stevie said, and everybody's buzzing, takes you into the weekend, rather than just getting pummeled every time you play. What kind of good's that? We're seeing it too much now. I'm sorry. I think they're hoodwinked into the fact that
Premier League money, isn't it?
It's Premier League money. You're going to be a bit tired and all that sort of nonsense.
Frank, are Liverpool going to win everything?
They might. They can. They have the squad for that. We even saw a very young player, Martin, coming in, you know, which I guess, who I think will be the future of the club. I wish him the best. But yes, they have the squad, they have the talent, they seem to have the belief that they can go through everything. So if they have a little bit of luck, if they don't have any injuries, yeah, it's possible. Let me just go back to Norwich City. I think Norwich and the coach never believed that they could win. And the evidence of that is when they scored the goal 15 minutes before the end, the guy who scored the goal was immediately substituted by somebody else. So I think when you score a goal, you're full of confidence, you want to carry on, you want to fight. No, you get out, the coach say. That's very strange. So I think they didn't want to go through.
We saw the opposite of that, didn't we, in the Real Madrid game a couple of weeks ago where
Asensio was just about
to get hooked because it wasn't happening for him. And then he hit a world in the top corner. And Ancelotti went, we'll have a little rethink there. But he just, scored, as Frank said, scored the great goal. Now, even if he's saving him for the weekend, doesn't matter. He's just scored this great goal.
Yeah.
So he's on a high. And then
Liverpool going to be OK with all these matches?
Sports science would say no.
Well, maybe that's why they won't win everything. Because there are so many matches that he's going to have to gamble something.
And they're all must win, aren't they?
Well, he would probably say the Champions League and the Premier League games are all must win. I would suggest that if he's going to lose a game, he'll be a lot happier if it's in the FA Cup.
There's only two more games left, though, isn't there, really?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Everything on top of everything else adds up. And that means, because he's got a good squad, he's going to have to pick and choose where he rests people. And when you do that, there's a possibility that it might not work out for you. That's the biggest problem he's got.
Do we know who they've got yet?
I mean, draw is on Thursday.
Right. That could go a long way.
Yeah. There's a lot of big teams left in there.
What he does, off the top of my head, Daniel, I couldn't tell you. But that could, you know, depending on the draw, will that have an effect on his team selection?
Chelsea, Manchester City will be the ones, obviously, you'll be looking to avoid. Just a reminder, if you ever miss a show, you can download our daily podcast, which is available on the website. It's available daily. It is the audio version of the show, hence it's called a podcast.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
That is it then. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much. Are you all right? That was a strange...
It's been 10 minutes. Can you read the Abramovich statement again?
That's it. We will be back tomorrow for more. Be sure to stay tuned, though, as Extra Time is next. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets. Craig Burley, you look like you're about to leave. What are you doing? Steve Nicol is
with us. Extra Time.
Frank LaBeouf is with us as well.
Frank's buying, right, breaking news.
What?
Frank's buying Chelsea.
Oh, really, Frank? A drop in the LaBeouf fortune to buy that. Was it
that,
3 billion?
It's that money he's leaving in Luxembourg.
He'll have to sell a couple of Bentleys first.
Yeah, yeah.
A couple of more games of... What was that game you used to play? Where do you go to Holland to play?
Marbles.
Couple more successful games of marbles.
Celebrity marbles.
Bosh, your uncle, 3 billion. Bosh. Chelsea. Bosh.
Stevie, what went wrong with the Chelsea defence, which was so solid at the beginning of the season?
I think when you make changes, it can just upset everything. You know, when you've got a back three or a back four that are comfortable with each other, in tune, you know, you've got somebody in charge, and it just works seamlessly.
Right.
And then you maybe get an injury or a loss of... I mean, just for whatever reason, it changes. It just takes one to upset the apple cart, whether they drop too deep or whether they step out and leave a hole. So it's all about keeping a back line together consistently, and then you'll start getting performances like they gave at the start of the season.
Chilwell out, James out, of course. The big impact on it, Frank, is it as simple as that?
Yeah, it is. It is. I agree with Stevie. I think you need stabilities, you need automatism between the players. And with Chelsea, well, today is not really a good example because some players were resting, but you can see that Saar didn't play well today, put some dangers on the field. Rüdiger is Rüdiger, and I think you can count on him and you have no problem. But you lost Reece James, lost Chilwell as well on the side. Thiago Silva doesn't play every game. Christensen has been injured last week, and you had to play Chalobah. And that's what it is. That's what it is. You lose that stability. You lose the feeling that they have between the players if they play week in, week out, and that's why they're more they're less stronger than they used to be.
Craig, how do players cope when a club as big as Chelsea is being sold? Is it easy just to shut the noise and focus on winning games?
I don't know.
That's way above the players' pay grade.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Look, as a professional, you just got to get on with what you're doing.
Right.
Training, playing, getting your golf in. Obviously, and just concentrating you, and then the weekends and the midweek and the cups. That's for other people. I don't think that's got... it's going to have any... I mean, it may have some... it may throw a spanner in the work with any negotiating of new contracts.
Yeah, you think Rüdiger, Christensen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they were... I don't think they are. I think Christensen's going. Rüdiger, I don't know. I think it sounds 50-50. Real Madrid, but say Chelsea were really wanting to push the boat out. You know, new owners coming in, do they want to, you know, so that could compromise that.
The only thing is a player, you probably go, well, if there's new owners, they might bring a new manager, and then what does that leave me?
Right.
I mean, that's about it.
Yeah.
That's about as far as you'll think. Because at the end of the day, when you're playing, you're pretty selfish. You're thinking about yourself, your contract and all the other stuff. So, hey, I like this manager, he likes me. If there's a change of owner, maybe they change the manager. And then that's as far as you go.
Do you agree, Frank?
I do. The main concern for the players is whether they're going to keep the same manager or not. And for the players who are almost sure to play, it's not a problem. Well, of course, they think about the club, especially if they have a if they really love the club and they want to stay there, they don't want to see the club dropping in level wise. But otherwise, yeah, it's above them. As long as they have the bank account still open at the bank and they still receive the money, they're ready to play. And then what's going on the field is their only concern.
Stevie, which lower tier side impressed you the most during your FA Cup game history?
York City. We were European champions and we played York City in the third round of the FA Cup.
Right.
And we scraped a draw on the first leg, 0-0, away.
Wow. Look,
it was classic back then. Pitch was rock hard, there was hay on it. But we never, I don't remember us making a chance in the game. We held on for dear life. And they were, I'm going to say second division then, maybe third. And we were European champions and we were glad to get on the bus and drive home.
You've had both sides of it, though. Obviously, success with Liverpool, but was it Doncaster as well?
Doncaster.
What club? What round was that? You got.
It was the first round. The first time I'd ever played in the first round.
Right.
And we played against a league side. I can't remember the name, but it was fantastic. We had about 250 Doncaster fans supporting us.
Right.
And at the final whistle, we won 1-0, we held on, and they all invaded the pitch, and it was just fantastic. First round.
But a man who's won European Cup, FA Cup, League Cup, that was still special.
Oh, it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, just like them all, that initial when the final whistle goes, that elation.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same, regardless. It doesn't matter what the ground is. Aye. It was fantastic. Brilliant.
What are you, Craig? Which lower tier team?
Barnet.
Barnet? Wow. Why?
Lowest team in the Football League at the time when we played them. 94, third round. They were 92nd, bottom, last.
Wow.
And they should have put us out at Stamford Bridge.
Really?
We're talking about earlier, Dmitry Karin. Dmitry Karin at the time was the Russian number one goalkeeper. Right? He was in his pomp. He was springing about all over the goal for 90 minutes. We were like, what the hell is it? Because we just thought we were going to turn that and win.
Right, and that complacency got you.
Complacency, and we beat them in a replay 4-1, but we should have. Yeah, sometimes these guys are just, it's a one-off for them, isn't it?
Right,
yeah.
It's the magic of the cup.
They can raise the game. It's fair play.
What about you, Frank?
I thought I saw a statue of you in Doncaster. I was there a couple of years ago. Just outside the bookmakers.
Outside the pie shop.
I wasn't dressed as Superman.
Outside the pie shop.
Yeah. I wasn't dressed as Superman.
Fish and chip shop outside. There's a statue of you eating a sausage supper.
Frank, what about you?
Gravy.
It would be Nottingham Forest we played against, first because it was the home of Trevor Francis for me and all the remember that I have when I was young. And we played, the atmosphere was crazy, the pitch was horrendous. And I remember that free kick from Stuart Pearce, where you know you're in the wall and you say, well, avoid us, please. Otherwise, somebody is going to be killed, you know, because you know that the power of the shoots and... Well, I think we lost. That was awful. I think they were in the championship, and I think we lost. I don't remember, but that was not a very nice souvenir, a nice memory. I only remember the crazy atmosphere.
It was even worse with Piercy because he used to take these stupid long run-ups.
Yeah.
Right, and be snorting at the ball on the way, grunting. You see it coming. So you get, you know, you're in the wall and you got plenty of time, but then he starts his run, so then you got another 3 or 4 seconds to brace yourself for what's coming.
Think about it.
They must hurt though when you get hit by those, don't they?
Yeah. Proper ball.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
like those things are weird to do.
Yeah, those are heavier balls as well.
I mean, seriously, today.
Oh.
Somebody gets hit with a ball, it bounces like 50 yards away.
Right.
I mean, come on, what is that?
Oh.
Stupid.
Stupid balls. Stupid.
None of this lying behind the wall. Graphics going
on. No, none of that.
Can you imagine?
Craig, do you think Leeds will survive in the Premier League this season under new boss Jesse Marsh?
So Norwich are struggling badly. I think Burnley have got the experience, and the manager's got the experience of trying. And Veikkausliiga sounds decent. I think they could. I'm trying to think who's worse.
Norwich are done.
Pretty much.
Right.
I think Newcastle have signed enough players.
Yeah.
They'll be fine. I think Everton should be fine with who they've got, and they could inflict a big damage on Leeds this weekend. And who? Brentford are getting dragged back in.
Yeah. Watford.
Watford. Watford can't win a game to save their life.
They've got to drop Man United, but I'm not sure.
Right.
I think they're in. If Bamford and Phillips were back, and I think Don had said yesterday, Liam Cooper as well, then I would say decent chance. But they just don't have the players. I'm going to say no. I think they could go.
Really?
They're in a really bad run.
Yeah, I don't see how they're going to stay up with the amount of goals they lose. And the players they've got, they're just not good defenders. And they're not... Sometimes you can get away with having bad individual defenders if you can get them to play together.
Right.
And then they're covering for each other constantly. But this, the group that they've got now, I don't even think they can do that. So they'll lose too many goals. I don't think they'll stay up.
That's it. That's the end of Extra Time. That's the end of the show. Thank you very much for watching. And we'll be back tomorrow. Everton against Boreham Wood, is that it?
Boreham Wood
against Everton tomorrow. Our feature game on ESPN+. Be sure to check it out.